On Saturday, hedge fund billionaire Jeffrey Epstein's New York mansion door was busted open, and search warrants were issued. Meanwhile, Epstein was arrested by the FBI and the NYPD Crimes Against Children Task Force at the Teterboro Airport in New Jersey after flying in from Paris. As President Trump attended his annual golfing excursion at his Bedminster golf course, just 44 miles away from where Epstein was apprehended. Epstein is now awaiting a trial on Monday on new sex trafficking charges involving allegations that date to the early 2000s, where Epstein procured anywhere from a dozen to as many as 80 underage girls to perform erotic massages on himself and allegedly his powerful jet-set friends. Epstein is now facing a maximum of 45 years in prison. The case is already drawing in political venom from both sides, as CNN reported a team of federal prosecutors from the Southern District of New York, along with some in the Public Corruption Unit, have been assigned to the case. Maureen Comey, the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, is one of the prosecutors, according to a source with knowledge of the case, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. Of course, Maureen Comey and the Mockingbird Media will use Donald Trump's association via his Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta's outrageous plea deal to stain the president as the election season ramps up. The AP reported the White House said in February that it was looking into Acosta's handling of the deal. At the heart of the revelations, the unsealing of a 2,000-page document fully detailing a global sex trafficking network that had been largely hidden from the public, as The Sun reported. Records in the defamation case contained descriptions of sexual abuse by Epstein, along with new allegations of sexual abuse by numerous prominent American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, a well-known prime minister, and other world leaders. Female scouts allegedly searched for girls that were, in the words of one of the accusers, basically homeless. They searched globally and near the Epstein residences in New York City, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Epstein's private Caribbean island. In an extensive investigative report by the Miami Herald back in November of 2018, Herald reporter Julie K. Brown blew Epstein's perversion of justice wide open, revealing close to 80 accusers and a stable of powerful lawyers, including Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr, that shamelessly defended Epstein's illegal lifestyle and allegedly engaging in the same behavior themselves. In an unprecedented deal in 2008, Epstein spent only 8 hours of a day in a county jail after he had avoided federal charges by agreeing to a non-prosecution agreement overseen by the Florida U.S. Attorney's Office in Miami. The 52-page indictment could have imprisoned him for life. Epstein's plea of guilt to charges of soliciting prosecution from a minor resulted in only a 13-month jail term, consisting of daytime work release. He was required to register as a sex offender and agreed to pay restitution to his victims. All of this blatantly constructed to protect Epstein's associates engaging in an elite global sex trafficking network, as the state of Florida and the federal government drew up a lifetime moratorium shielding Epstein and all of his powerful friends from further prosecution. One accuser, Virginia Roberts, accused Epstein of treating her as a sex slave. Roberts says the slavery began when she was 15. It was mainly populated by foster care teens recruited by Epstein's partner in crime, Ghislaine Maxwell, who also allegedly participated in the abuse. Roberts, now 31 years old, alleged that Epstein pimped her out to powerful players, including Prince Andrew, modeling agent Jean-Luc Brunel, Bill Clinton, and Alan Dershowitz. To Dershowitz's credit, he supports the public release of the 2,000-page documentation of the alleged global sex trafficking syndicate. The 2,000-page document of doom, revealing more about the Clintons' involvement on the Lolita Express, for example, will not be immediately available, as anonymous individuals involved in the case have 2 weeks to file appeals. John Bound reporting.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we will talk about the Epstein files, his pleading of not guilty, and some other important news. But you'll notice something. I've been watching. Only one network has even mentioned Jeffrey Epstein so far today. Only one television network has mentioned the name Jeffrey Epstein today. I will tell you who that is and why on the other side. It is July 8th, 2019. The beginning of a crazy broadcast week here on a Monday at Infowars.com/show. Brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. Now, the big news today, it's at the top of Drudge, it's at the top of Infowars. Anybody worth their salt in media is covering Jeffrey Epstein. The indictments, the allegations, the charges, the story overall, where you have a billionaire financier, friends with some of the most powerful names in America, including the Clintons, and you have serious allegations, serious charges, serious indictments, many charges that have already he's been found guilty of. Sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, child sex abuse. Some of the allegations say that he had a vast network of underage sex victims. And victims as young as 14 or potentially younger, and that's just what we know. That's just what they have in Florida and New York. What are they doing on the private islands? What are they doing on the private jets? What do we not know yet? But you'll notice something. No mention of Jeffrey Epstein on mainstream news today. And that's odd because normally daytime news is trying to cover what's latest, what's breaking, whereas nighttime news is more packaged, pre-prepared, prepped, ready to go. So many times nighttime news is days or even weeks behind a story because they just have the whole thing prepped out days, weeks in advance. So they play catch up sometimes. But daytime news, not as written, not as scripted, not as telepromptered, more of a reaction to what's happening. Only one television station I was monitoring all day. I was monitoring all the TV. And in fact, rarely do you even see Fox News on at the gym, but they always have MSNBC, CNN. I was monitoring this morning during my workouts going over there. Not a mention of Jeffrey Epstein. Fox Business, Fox News, I'm monitoring them all day as well. Nothing on Fox Business. Fox News, though, did have a mention. Part of me wants to do the old test that we do here. We go to ABC.com, NBC.com, CBS.com, and you just search for the news story that you want to find and see if they're even covering it. But it's irrelevant. Most people aren't going there anyway to look for breaking news on the Epstein case, but or they won't even know what it would be if they just saw it in the headline. But if it said pedophile network, well, then they might click on it. But on television, the only place you could find any news today was Fox News. And they weren't covering it in great detail, but they were talking about it and they were monitoring the ongoing case as far as the press conference was concerned, which I never saw that get aired. I'm not even sure if that ended up happening or not. Now, why would that be? Because you can even find some left-wing media deciding to run with the Epstein story, but tying it to Trump, saying Trump was in on it. Trump's the bad guy. Well, we'll see if all is fair in love and war when it comes to that narrative. But the television networks are not covering it. Nothing on CNN, nothing on MSNBC. Oh, but yes, there it is. Left-wing news, Bloomberg, reshared by Yahoo, one of the biggest websites in the world. Epstein arrest is a worry for Donald Trump. No, let me explain something. The only reason why Fox News probably aired the Epstein news today and was going live to the press conference is because President Trump. Or should I say, if not President Trump, somebody within Trump's administration or influence, sphere of influence, told Fox News, you better air this live. You see, Trump is not just in this as a representation of America being back and American pride being back and patriotism being back and nationalism being back and common sense in domestic policy being back. He's also a representation of the secret societies, the shadow governments that have been running the White House for decades. He is not from their clubs. He's not in the sex cults. He's not in the pedophile cults. He's not in the drug cults. And so that is what really has them worried. 8 years of America surging, 8 years of American pride being back, 8 years of nationalism, patriotism. You can erase that with one president, just like Trump has erased Obama in 2 years. But a president who's not part of their sex cults and their devil cults and who's not in the secret societies, who doesn't have all the blackmail on him, hasn't gone to the pedophile islands, hasn't gone to the snuff film islands. And so that aspect of President Trump is now in the fold. And so you're not going to see mainstream media covering this on television because the truth is, and they know it, this is not going to lead back to Trump. And if they really do try to push this back on Trump, they know it blows back on all of their heroes tenfold. Comey, Mueller, the Clintons, all of them. And I have a feeling that Alexander Acosta, who is in the Trump administration, has something to do with this. Now, let me explain one more thing as I'm about to go to break here, because I try to lay out as much information in an eloquent fashion as I can here, but let's just draw back and look at the overall picture that we're all involved in now. InfoWars has been telling you about underage sex rings with billionaire elites in the West and in Europe for decades. But more specifically, I mean, I have been talking about Jeffrey Epstein every day for about 4 months, ever since they said we're going to reopen these files, which now we're finally seeing. So just like we had Tommy Robinson on the War Room Friday and the Alex Jones show today, and they arrest him for journalism. Why? Because he reported on pedophiles. We report on this stuff. Everyone else is late to the game. That's why they want us banned, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we're being targeted. This is why Alex Jones is the most banned man on the internet. This is why InfoWars reporters are targeted for censorship. We told you about Jeffrey Epstein and everything he was up to and who he is years ago. Now it's going to hit the mainstream. Now, what happens to Epstein? We'll find out. But are the American people finally going to open their eyes and see what's been going on in front of them?
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Wow. Oh, hey, am I live? What's up, guys? This InfoWars coffee is so good. I'm not even exaggerating. I walk into the studio today. I just had a fresh brew. I walk into the studio today with my fresh coffee. And let's get a crew cam right over here. And Justin's sitting over there making sure all my shots look good. He could just smell the aroma of the coffee. And he literally just took off on a dead sprint to the break room to get coffee. He was like, is there a fresh pot of coffee? I was like, yep. As you can tell, Justin was out on the lake this weekend. He wasn't playing golf, I don't think. So, if you want to support the InfoWar, we have items that everybody uses. We have coffee, we have toothpaste, we have toothbrushes, water filters, air filters, shampoo, body lotion. These are household items that everybody needs. Why not get your coffee from InfoWarsStore.com? Look at that. It's only 10 bucks. Not even. We've got toothpaste, which is great. I love the toothpaste. And I can tell you, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't want to, like, talk about, you know, oral hygiene because it's not exactly pleasant to hear on the radio. But with some gum disease that runs in my family and then also with a tooth that I've had pulled out, I've actually seen the difference in using Super Blue toothpaste from InfoWarsStore.com and just the other leading guy, whatever it is, the mainstream toothpaste. The gum disease that I have causes inflammation in the gums. When I go to the dentist, you know, it bleeds and everything. It's not a good thing. Ever since I switched to Super Blue, the inflammation gone, the bleeding when flossing gone. And it was just a simple switch of toothpaste. It's the nascent iodine in there. It's the silver in there. No. Go ahead. Pull up the goofy picture. And so anyway, you can see I'm missing a front tooth like a total goon, yeah. But the soft tissue in my gum that needs to grow back and be repaired before they can put in the implant is healing faster than normal. And so normally they look at these things and are like, oh, with the condition that my old tooth was in and that the bone around the mouth was in and everything, there's like, when they first got in there, they said it's probably going to be 8 months, maybe even a year before we could put a new tooth in. It's probably going to be, when it's all said and done, 4 months. So literally half the time, they thought. And I swear it's probably because of the toothpaste. Probably the DNA Force Plus, too. But you just look at what silver does. You look at what nascent iodine does, and it just makes sense. You look at the ingredients in DNA Force Plus. I just had to order a couple more bottles of that today. I ran out. It's just the products work, folks. And again, it's not even that we pat ourselves on the back. It's just I'm doing my job. Yeah, a major billionaire financier with ties to some of the most powerful names in politics and business, Jeffrey Epstein, running child sex trafficking rings on private jets and islands. And it's all about to come out in court? I think I'll talk about that. I think I'll mention that every day. You know why? Because I'm not a coward on television. Because I don't have people behind me telling me what I can and can't talk about. Oh, should I really go there? Because I don't have friends that are in the sex cults. There you go. There it is. Oh, you mean down here in Australia? See, the more I live and learn, the more I understand decisions made before I got to the point I'm at. Yeah, folks. L.A., New York, D.C., where all the media is, you don't think they got friends in the Knicks of them sex cults? You don't think they got friends hanging out with Epstein? Come on. And you wonder why you never hear Epstein's name mentioned for the months while all this has been going on? Or how about originally? Nobody's ever heard of Epstein that doesn't follow news or InfoWars really hardcore. Television news doesn't talk about this stuff. Why? They don't even know about Dennis Hastert. You could talk to the most Hey, this is not me throwing Fox News under the bus, Rush Limbaugh under the bus. Fine source of information. Never going to see the full picture. If you listen to them, you're never going to hear about, well, you may hear about Epstein today. I'll let you know. But back then, Dennis Hastert, you never hear about these things. It's all about the mainstream news deciding what's news. We don't talk about Epstein. It's not news. We don't talk about Dennis Hastert. It's not news. We don't talk about Operation Broken Heart. It's not news. We don't talk about the kids found in cages and these child sex dungeons in L.A. It's not news. We don't talk about the major pedophile bust in Florida, New York, California. It's not news. They never talk about it. I wonder why. I wonder why. Is that Hastert? Who's that? Yeah, that's Hastert. Boy, oh man, he really took a turn for the worse once he got arrested. He looked totally different when he was in Congress. Woo! But yeah, you never heard of Operation Broken Heart, did you? Ah. And you know, maybe we should just get this young girl on today, Magdalene Rose. She's been on before. She has a viral video right now talking about commentator culture, which I think is spot on. And it's something I try to avoid doing. That's why I go out on the streets to events. That's why I organize protests. That's why I work on things behind the scenes. But also, I understand my role and my value coming on here is to light fires in others and to inspire others. But we have to exist as a news organization. Otherwise, you never hear these names. You never hear these stories. But here's the frustration, guys. Pull up Magdalene Rose's Twitter. And maybe we should just see if we can get her on for a segment or two today in the third hour. I got a bunch of news to get to, but because this video is going viral and a lot of people are kind of missing what, in my opinion, the big picture is. It's not as much that commentator culture is the problem. Commentator culture is only a problem if you really think that there's something wrong in the world and you're only talking about it. And some of the people that you would say are commentator cultures, they don't care about fluoride in the water. They don't care about vaccine choice. They don't care about 9/11 truth. They don't care about the JFK assassination. You see, they go with the mainstream. They're afraid of their own shadow. They're in the box. They take everything at face value. That's the difference. And so, yeah, if you take everything at face value and you don't think the vaccines are bad and you're losing all your freedoms, and then, of course, you're just going to be a commentator. There's no threat to you. You're making plenty of money. You're comfortable. You're fine. That's the difference. So commentator culture is really just the culture of being complicit, the culture of accepting face value, the culture of never questioning anything, the culture of being comfortable. That's what this quote-unquote commentator culture really is. But as soon as you start to realize how corrupt things are, it's not really a commentator perspective. It's not really a commentator approach. Yes, when I'm on air, I'm doing commentary. But we're breaking the news that nobody else will talk about it. Because the commentators, as in this video that she breaks down, they'll never talk about it. They don't see the issues. They're comfortable. They're complicit. Whatever it takes to drive their fancy cars and keep their big paychecks. That's how it goes.
Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
Wolf Johnson has been a frequent guest of the War Room, but honored to have him in studio today. Will, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I've got some news I want to go over with you first. But let's just touch on the big story before we move on here. Jeffrey Epstein, the alleged vast network of sex trafficking he was engaged in, children included. Obviously, he's already been arrested and charged for some of this stuff in the past. This is stuff that we just know that's going on in New York and Florida. Who knows what's going on in the private islands, the private jets. But so far today, I'm just monitoring television news because that's what most people do, just monitor it throughout the day to see what their worldview is going to be. A brief mention on Fox News earlier today before the press conference, and then Fox Business just did about a two-minute hit on it as well. That's pretty much it as far as television news has been concerned, CNN, MSNBC. don't you think that a story like this, you know, Trump says, hey, grab him by the pee. It's the biggest news story of the year. You find a billionaire with a whole sex trafficking network with victims as young as 14 and a lot of big names involved in that. They don't even mention it except for that Trump knew Epstein. Somehow that's the only thing they mention. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, first of all, the left, they can do all of the despicable things that they want. And there's no problem with it. It's okay.
But I almost don't even want to make this a left and right thing.
But it is, though. But when it really comes down to it, well, it is when I'm saying that the left can do anything despicable and it's okay, because most of the time the left does things and it's just completely crazy. Now,
like a Keith Ellison, a Bill Clinton.
But now you do have people on the right, you know, because we're all human and we all do things that we probably shouldn't do. And it happens constantly. But when you look at how the left, when I say the left and the right, because the left, they will glorify some of the things that they're doing. And that's why they're not even really wanting to talk about this subject or even bring light to it, because they participate as far as it being okay.
Yeah, they're the ones promoting drag queen story time.
Yes.
For kids.
Yes.
They're the ones promoting the whole LGBT plus P agenda now. I have a bunch of people that keep me updated, you know, on that whole movement. And they're like, no, they're about to drop the whole P thing now. Like, it's coming. Like, well, they're getting ready to roll out pedophile love too.
Exactly. So when they find something that someone has done that is completely crazy and they support it, they really don't want to talk about it because they don't want to look like, okay, we're against it. So I think that, you know, just be silent about it. Don't say anything and it'll go away. Because, you know, this story is not new about all of this. And it just don't talk about it. The story will go away. We'll bring up something else, fake, talk about Trump, and then we'll just talk about that, and people will forget.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter that the lawyers involved in this say Trump was the only one who cooperated when they were looking for information on Epstein and the sex trafficking that was going on. Trump was the only one that cooperated. Of course, as he owns Mar-a-Lago, they questioned him because Epstein was there a lot. No one else would cooperate.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it because they probably have some kind of dealings and with the corruption with these children. I mean, these are monsters that's walking on the planet. Monsters that's walking on the planet. They're doing different things to children. Now, you know, if it was like the Catholic Church, you know, they'll go after them because there's something, you know, close to anything that's close to God. They'll do that because then they'll bring it up. But, you know, if it has anything to do with these politicians, they don't really want to talk about it. Or if it's somebody that has a lot of dealing with politicians like Bill Clinton, et cetera, let's not talk about it.
Well, and let's now talk about this drag queen story time thing, because this is getting out of control to me at how big of a national phenomenon it's become. CBS Denver has a story, all ages drag show draws controversy protest. So what's happening at these things, Will, now is it's become so hyper-politicized. I mean, again, it's like, I don't know why politics get involved in, you know, pedophiles and drag queen story times. It should just be neutral stuff. But everything, I guess, gets politicized these days because the left has gone fully insane and conservatives just want common sense. But every time there's a drag queen story time now, protesters show up in mass. And so in response to the protesters showing up in mass, a bunch of leftist protesters just say, hey, no, let the drag queens, you know, read your kids, bounce them on your laps, dance for dollars, whatever. And then it becomes this whole thing where more people are there protesting than would have ever attended the thing. And then you have a massive police presence. It's really quite a scene. And where does this end? I mean, that's my question. Where do you think this ends? Do you think it they're going to say, okay, just accept drag queen story time for kids. If you show up, we'll arrest you. Or are cities finally going to say there's way too much public outcry? This is causing way too much of an issue. Plus, what were we thinking doing this to kids anyway, and shut it down?
It all ends when we say this is normal. That's when it ends. When we all agree to it and say this is normal, this is just a typical thing.
But I'll never agree that it's normal.
Exactly. I would never agree to it either. So it's not going to end until they can get everyone to comply. But see, think about it. If they're teaching children this craziness today, 18 years from now, when they become young adults, these children, these kids will become young adults and they're going to say, it's always been this way. They've always been here. If you go outside right now and you look up in the sky, you see an airplane. When I was born into the world, there was airplanes in the sky. It's nothing new to me. It's like, there it is. Kids are going to say, well, I've always gone to these storytelling times and they had these men dressed up like this, looking like dragons. And this is normal. This has always been here.
This is literally, it's getting so out of hand, though. It's like the same thing that happens with these pride parades now. Now it's like LARPing a strip club. I mean, that's basically what it is. They're basically playing strip club now. Roll that foot. I mean, this is happening everywhere where they hand dollars out. They're like, I mean, this is like role playing. You're at a strip club. That's what this is.
No, you're absolutely right. When they have, they're even having kids putting money into the straps of these grown men while they're dancing. I mean, I've seen video footage of that. I mean, there it is. Look at, I mean, this is crazy.
No one's paying taxes on that income either. Do I need to call the IRS to shut this down? Seriously, is that what it's going to take? Calling the IRS for unpaid taxes on whatever? But so here they are role-playing, but it's like if I wanted to, let's say I wanted to have a camp, and it was called like the Ultimate Boys Camp or something like that, and it was like you have boys learning how to like work with cars and engines and build stuff and play sports.
Woodwork.
And, yeah, you know, stuff et cetera, like that. Stuff,
yeah.
And then they'd come and shut that down and they say, no, that's sexist probably. They'd say that's toxic masculinity.
Or teach young men how to mow the lawn. Or teach young men
fix
how
a tire.
To, yeah, fix a tire. Yeah. You know, hold the door for a lady. You know, teaching young men things like that, then you would probably be deemed a racist. How dare you not introduce someone who wants to think differently? You're not being inclusive. I mean, I'm guaranteed that's exactly what they would say. I mean, it's crazy. Didn't the Boy Scouts used to be that way?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Is it the Boy Scouts? Now you don't even have the Boy Scouts.
No, you can't. I mean, yeah, and they want to change. I think they changed the name from just the Scouts. I think they removed the whole boy because they, you know, they want to be more inclusive. I mean, they already had the Girl Scouts, right? So why not go ahead and have girls go to Girl Scouts and learn things about women, about girls?
Look at this. I love this. We have a Savannah Hernandez report pulled up exactly what you're talking about here from the Boy Scouts, though. But the video's banned.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Hey, come check out our video. Oh, YouTube banned it. How does that? Yeah. How does that feel, Savannah? Welcome to the club. So they just hand out condoms to the Boy Scouts now. But it's like, again, like, why is it always this sexual nature? Like, why is it always about sex? Like, it used to be we protected the kids from this stuff.
Well, I think it's part of power, control. You control people through sex. I mean, it's been that way from the beginning of time. They would control people through sex, power, money. It's all tied in together. And we're seeing it. Hey, on the other side of the break, I want to tell you something about Turbo Force.
About Turbo Force?
Yes, about Turbo Force.
All right, we got breaking news coming up about Turbo Force. Just keep the Turbo Force away from the drag queens during story time, okay? We don't want to know what would happen, you know what I'm saying? So let's just, no Turbo Force at drag queen story time, please.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Will Johnson in studio here. Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by Infowarsstore.com. And one of our great products at Infowarsstore.com is Turbo Force. Anybody who's used it knows how great it is. Will had something he wanted to report because it was actually, Will told me to stir it into hot water, which was brilliant, to drink it like a tea. I did that for a while. I go on weird kicks. Now I'm back on a coffee kick. I'll probably be on a Turbo Force kick again soon. So you were right about that, though, with the warm water, drinking it like tea and sipping on it. Tastes great, works for energy, focus, everything. So do you have something new
for
the audience?
Yes,
now?
I do. So, okay. You know, I'm like you. I love Turbo Force. I mean, I can't imagine not going a day without it. But I drove here from California, you know, and while I was driving, I was getting a little tired and a little restless, you know, because after just going down the highway, you're like seeing the same thing. It's just the same thing, same
thing. Pretty flat.
Pretty flat, especially once you leave California. So I took a half a packet because for me, this is pretty potent. I mean, so I always take a half a packet and I put it in orange juice and I shook it up. And as I'm riding down the highway, I'm just sipping the orange juice, not just downing it, just sipping it. And, you know, it took me about like maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes just to sip it. Then after about 30 minutes into sipping it, I get this rush. It's not like, whoa, what's going on? I came up nice and gradually, and I was just nice, and I was able to drive for another 8 hours, no issues.
You're not
issues.
Yawning, you're not
No, none of that. I mean, it was like, man, let's go, let's go, let's go. And it didn't make me feel like I had the jitters. That's the one thing I love about the Turbo Force. I don't ever feel like I have the jitters. And then when I came back down, I didn't even notice that I crashed, none of that, because I didn't crash. I just came down, I got a hotel room, sat in the room, and I'm like, man, I'm still a little wired. But next thing I know, I was out, had a good night's sleep, woke up, drove some more.
We need, like, I've been thinking about this before. We need, like, the ultimate trucker's pack or something that we just sell to truck drivers out there.
You know what?
And Turbo Force would be one of them.
You know what? That is a beautiful idea because I guarantee the truckers start taking this, they're going to thank you for it.
And then they'll start beating everyone else's times. They'll be like, how are you getting these products? You haven't missed a date, which is tough. I have friends in the trucking industry. It's a lot. There's a lot more logistics and data and timing that goes into that than people expect. But if you're an alert trucker and you hit your landing date, like, you're like the best in the biz.
I mean, it's amazing. And it's nothing to, like, artificial about it. I mean, it's so amazing.
And it doesn't have a big bunch of sugar like in the other energy drinks, too.
Exactly. You know what? And I like to talk about the products that I take myself.
Yeah.
And Turbo Force is one of them. And I can't. You know what? I actually did a video and I was talking about taking the Turbo Force as I was on my way here. And a lot of people are saying, where do I get it? Where do I get it? And I'm like, how do you not know already? So I went ahead and
they censor it.
Yes. Well, probably they censor
it. Oh my gosh, that's it. Get the censored energy drink.
Yes.
Turbo Force. It's the censored energy drink. They don't even want you to know about this.
I mean, it's amazing. I can't even imagine going, like I say, I can't imagine going a day without taking it.
See, and this is the crazy thing too. And I know that this is kind of a stretch, but it's a microcosm. Who sponsors the big mainstream news, corporate news? Red Bull and all these other sugary processed drinks that are horrible for you.
Thank you.
So, of course, they don't want InfoWars supplements out there. We sell you Turbo Force that's not going to destroy your liver.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you do not get the jitters. That's the one thing, like, I thought I was going to get the jitters. I'm like, oh, shaking. Now, if you take the whole packet and you down it immediately, you're going to be flying.
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to be flying.
Some people are like, whoa, that's too much.
You're going to be flying. Packet. You're going to be flying. But I take a half packet. I put it in either hot water or now orange juice. It is beautiful. It is beautiful.
All right, let's look at this video that you sent me. 10-year-old girl suspended for asking to be exempt from the LGBTQIA9er school lesson, which is now what they're doing to kids in California. As you know, they tell their parents, you cannot opt out. You have to do this. Now they're suspending kids. But listen to this young girl. This is a 10-year-old out of London. And listen to her explanation of why she was suspended for asking to be exempt from the LGBT school lesson.
I only learned what homophobic means the other day, and it means that you don't like LGBT people. So I was confused when she said that I was being very homophobic.
10-year-old Casey at a primary school in South London, excluded for 5 days for homophobic comments.
I'm not homophobic. I'm just against the point of putting it in schools and teaching it to children.
She's a star pupil. She denied the allegations, but the teacher said LGBT people should be killed.
I think that they're trying to confuse children into saying, what are you? Because before anybody knew what LGBT meant, everybody knew what gender they were. But now people are confused and they're saying that they're bisexual and trans because they're confused and people are trying to say it's okay. But before all of this happened, they were completely confident of who they were, but now they're not. My mom isn't telling me to say this. It's completely myself, because my mom's not the one that's going to school to see this happening. I am. So this is my opinion on what I'm saying to...
So here's how it goes.
LGBT,
they always roll things out in Europe before they come to the United States. Mm-hmm. I think that trend is pretty much well documented now. But you have kids. They were in California schools where they're now teaching the same thing, saying you can't opt out of it. I mean, I don't even know really what to think about this, because I try to think about all the angles. And I actually remember I had some gay friends in school growing up that were bullied in grade school and high school. And for the most part, it was minor stuff. There was only one major incident. And I think, okay, well, you know, if the entire purpose of this is to say, hey, we don't want these kids being bullied. Okay, well, you know, I understand that there's always been the anti-bullying campaign. There's always been real stuff to try to make learning environments better for kids and what have you. And I think, okay, fair enough. But it seems like they go over and beyond. It seems like they really reach, and they really just want to force things on everyone instead of just saying, hey, you know, let's not bully somebody for this. They want to say, no, you're going to now not just accept it, but you're going to be totally exposed to it, and you have to accept it.
This is them showing their love. This is how they show tolerance. Think about it. You know, if...
We need a cartoon of them taking like I can't think of it now, but basically they're taking their tolerance pill and shoving it. You know? It's a suppository.
Yes.
Sorry,
you know,
go ahead.
I mean, what happened to tolerance? What happened to, you know, being who you want to be? Why is it a 10-year-old has more common sense than these adults? They're confusing children. She's 10 years old and she's completely laid it out there. They're confusing because children knew who they were, and we were always taught be happy on who you are. And now all of a sudden, if you don't go along with the whole sex change, transgender, telling children this, tell children that, then they're going to demonize you. What happened to you having a choice of not playing along?
Well, it's the same thing that they say. They want their pro-choice. Oh, yeah, you're pro-choice. You can kill your baby. Okay, well, then when it's out of the womb, surely I cannot vaccinate it, too. Oh, no, no, no. You don't have that choice. So it's kind of that same dynamic of them choosing for you.
Yeah. But for them to expel her for, what, 5 days, or suspend her for 5 days just because she didn't want to participate.
And you can tell she's polite. She's a nice little girl.
Yeah, she's not being mean about it. The whole thing is she said, no, thank you. I don't want to participate. It's like you go to school and you go into the playground and they say, well, we're going to play kickball. And you go like, well, I don't want to play right now. I'd rather play dodgeball.
I remember when we had the, I don't remember what grade it was, but when we had the whole, sex education class, even then, they had options. You know, they'd tell the parents, hey, we're going to teach your kids this stuff. This is what's in the curriculum. If you want your kids out, let us know. And then they did it. And I remember a couple kids got out. And you know what? We didn't go to those kids and say, hey, why aren't you doing it? We didn't care. We went out to the playground and we're on the swings.
Well, see, now they have some of these teachers that will rat out the kids that opt out. So then the other kids will go attack them.
Or make a bigger deal out of it.
So they would be harassed to make them comply with the sickness going on in their heads.
Exactly. Instead of the teacher going to the incident, let's say there was a bullying incident, and saying, hey, quit bullying this kid. Let's correct it. Let's call the parents. Now it's, okay, all right, class, everybody come around. Listen, this is what gay sex is like, and you better like it. And then the kids are like, what? I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
Like, too bad, kids.
Here's some lube.
Here's a condom for the way out.
Enjoy.
Infowars.com/show. The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, a couple more stories I want to get Will Johnson's take on before Carpe Donctum is going to join us in the next segment. Excited to catch up with him. Let's go with this one. Oh, Will, you're not even... This one's rich. A festival in Detroit is charging double ticket price for non-people of color. Mm. This is the Afro Future Fest. And tickets for POC are $10, for non-POC, $20. Now they're actually up to $20 and $40. So I would pay $40. But this is how do you determine a person of color? I wonder, like, how do they, I mean, can I just walk up and say, no, I'm black? And can they say, no, you're not? And I'll say, well, yes, I am. Why? How?
What if you identify?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, so let me ask this. I'm not the same color as this microphone, which is really black, and I'm a
but
little
bit lighter. But that microphone identifies as blue, though.
Okay, well, do I have to, is my ticket, would my ticket be 35, 33?
Oh, yeah, it's like a spectrum. It's like, okay, you know, actually, there is that meme that they have where, like, the police comes up to the thing, and it's like, if it's black, like, arrest, if it's white. Have you seen that meme? They claim, like, okay, it's like an old leftist meme. I forget how it goes, but it's basically like, I think it's like a Simpsons meme, actually, where the guy's holding a card that's like how to handle a suspect or whatever, and it's based off skin color. Like, I wonder, they have that same thing, like how to handle a potential visitor or customer, and it's just got like skin tones. It's like a white person walks up and it's like, ooh, yeah, $40 for you. Like a, you know, brown person walks up like, oh, we'll go with 30 for you. A black person, Family Guy, there it is right there. Yeah, thank you guys. They found the meme. It was from Family Guy. Okay. So yeah, they're going to have one of those for this festival, I guess.
How did they even come up with this? I mean, seriously, think about it. Who actually came up with this? How did they come up with this? And who in their right mind would actually implement something like
this? I have
a
theory. My theory is that whoever organized this only wants black people to be there. And so they just figured they can price white people out, which, I mean, I guess that's one way to do it. But that's my guess, is that the organizers just don't want white people there.
What happened to the whole thing what Martin Luther King was doing, trying to, you know, remove segregation and to try to make us all equal? You know, what happened to that? Or, you know, because you have a lot of people on the left, specifically black people, you know, and they all, Martin Luther King, MLK, they scream that all day, but then they go against everything that he was fighting for. I don't, you know, it's like, what are they thinking?
Well, it shows how they just hoist these things up as medals or trophies or something. There's no actual substance to it. It's just like, hey, look, this is my shiny object. Yay. And you're like, oh, hey, that's a nice Martin Luther King object. Do you remember what he stood for? Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I think what it is basically is come down to where people are going so far left to the extreme in everything that they do that nothing is without limits.
Yeah. No, that's what it is.
I mean, seriously, nothing. Everything is on the table. If you can think
terrorism,
of something crazy,
racism.
Yes, if you can think
censorship.
Of it, then do it. And then you will get the left to support it.
But see, and this is what the crazy thing is. I mean, where it doesn't, they're going to start killing people, man. I mean, it's
I mean, Antifa's that close, right? Antifa is that close.
They need to wake up. I volunteered to be Antifa's leader. They haven't taken me up on it yet. I'm serious. You guys want to see some actual change. You want to go after the fascists. I will be your leader. I will point you in the direction of the fascists. You can't. They don't know what fascists.
I'll join. You know, I actually have an Antifa flag.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it doctored?
No. It's an actual Antifa flag that I actually picked
it up. It's obviously made in China.
I picked it up off the L.A. street. I was in L.A. and Antifa was across.
Oh, my gosh. You can't put an Antifa flag on the ground. That's like sacrilege.
Well, I put it on the ground and I was stepping on it while Antifa was across looking at me. And they were just getting all upset.
Look at those warriors. Look at those warriors for the cause. My gosh, it's sad. It's really sad. I will be, take me to your leader. And just point the finger at me. All right, Will Johnson, it's always great. He's going to be in studio all week, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to tune in at Infowars.com/show.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Big specials right now. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com so we can continue to expand here. We're expanding in the face of total censorship, folks. It's really a miracle, but it's all thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have the 4th of July specials going on right now. I'm not sure how much longer you've got to take advantage of 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements, free shipping store-wide, and double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. And I don't want to let out the big secrets here, folks, because it's not fair. But if you want to know why Carpe Donctum is the best meme maker on the planet, he has special pixies that sprinkle Brain Force Plus dust on his brain. So there's the big secret. Carpe Donctum has special little pixies that sprinkle Brain Force dust on his brain before he makes a meme. So there it is. I let the secret out of the bag. Now you know why Carpe Donctum is the best at memes. I call him the Rembrandt of memes. So Carpe Donctum joins us now. You know, I want to, first of all, Carpe, congratulations on, I know what was an amazing weekend for you and your family, but I want to thank you, Carpe, because you really made me look like a genius. I mean, you really made me look like a genius when I said, this is the Rembrandt of memes. This is the best. He is number one. I look like a genius now, because you are. There's no debate. You're the king of memes now. So congratulations on what was a great weekend for you and your family. And thank you so much for making me look like a genius.
No problem, Owen. It was my pleasure. And I wanted to correct the record here. You guys actually provided me with a special blend of Brain Force that is not currently available to the public because it's so strong that it would kill most people.
Folks, look, we took a CAT scan of Carpe's brain, and the readings were off the charts. They thought they might have to, like, take him down into a compound like they had to do with the Hulk. And they'd have to, like, you know, keep him down in that compound. But they decided to let him free because we've got him under total control now. We've got the right mix of Brain Force Plus and the other magical ingredients. But as you can see, the power is really there. But so here you are. You've come so far. But you know what? Also, let's get serious for a second, though, because if it wasn't for this audience, you were a contest winner that really helped to propel you to the next level. So I want to also give a big shout out to the audience and recognize how great this audience is. When you support us at InfoWarsStore.com, we pay it forward and just look at the great work that Carpe Donctum has done after winning that contest. Then he gets to the White House. He makes the most viral memes. He gets retweeted by the president. And then you're going to be at the social media summit coming up.
Absolutely. The audience, I would be nothing without the audience watching, your audience watching, my followers sharing it around and all of those things as well. So I greatly appreciate all the support that I've been given all along the way.
Now, there have been leftists that tried to dox you and destroy you and bring you down, but the sword of 1,000 truths that you wield so powerfully was able to keep them at bay. And you got invited to the White House. I'm sure that triggered all of them. Talk about that visit, what you can report that was talked about behind closed doors, and just what it meant to you.
Well, it remains to be seen just how many people will be triggered by the meeting. I know there are a few stories being written right now, so we'll see how that works out. But the visit was an amazing experience. You know, it was we were in there for 20 to 25 minutes just with the president, my family, and then my friend Mad Liberals, and then his mother. But president was great with the kids. We had a great time. We talked. I would say that it was like meeting an old friend, and it really, in a way it is, because, you know, I've been doing this for 2 to 3 years now, and you kind of feel like you get to know the president, and the good thing about the president is that he is the same way in person that he is in public. So it really is like meeting an old friend.
Well, everyone I talk to that's had a personal private meeting with him, not in a, you know, political meeting nature, just as kind of a friendly pal around, has said the same thing. He's so, you know, down to earth is kind of an overused cliche, but he just makes right. you feel like he's one of us. I mean, he makes you feel like, hey, you know, we're hanging out. We're together in this. We're on the same page. There's not that level of arrogance or stuck uppiness or whatever you want to call it, you know, domineering. He's very no. personable.
Well, and so we took a Capitol tour earlier in the day. So we toured the Capitol building, and we walked from, you know, from the subway to the Capitol building, and then after that we walked over to the White House. But there wasn't enough time in between there to like go and change and stuff. So we were wearing I was wearing my suit, and family was all wearing their best stuff. So by the time we got to security, we were just, you know, just pouring sweat. And because it was like 95 and 100,000 degrees or 100,000 percent humidity. And got through security and got into the White House, and then got into the waiting room and all that, and kind of cooled down a little bit. But, you know, if he was not who he was, he could be like, you know, walk in the room and just be like, sniff, sniff. Be like, yeah, I'm not meeting with these peasants. They smell like sweat. So,
yeah, but he's had to be in the same room with like Hillary and Obama before. So he knows it's much worse than whatever you guys smelled like.
Well, I'm sure. Well, they smell like sulfur, right? I've heard.
I don't know.
I heard a wise man say they smelled like sulfur. But, you know, the meeting was great, and I wish I could have brought more people, because I would love to see every fan of the president, and even people that are not fans of the president, actually meet him and see what he's like. I think,
you know, that's what's so cool about this to me, because he's done this with a lot of people, but to me, I mean, I know that when you're there, you know, we're all with you in spirit. You know, the InfoWars audience is with you in spirit. The people that follow you and like your memes are with you in spirit. The American patriots are with you in spirit. And so, I mean, that's the amazing thing to me, is when I see Carpe Donctum and his family meeting with Trump, you know, I see all of us meeting with Trump. Now, obviously, you got to have the great experience, but to me, it's just the representation that, you know, yeah, this is Trump being a people person. This is Trump relating right. to the average American. Like you said, not when you guys walk in all damp and sweaty saying, hey, you know, can we hose them down before they come in here, but probably not even mentioning it.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's the thing that I would most like when I talk to media people afterwards, the thing that I mentioned to all of them was that what people and your readers need to know is that the president is not the way that he's described. He is not that scary guy, the crazy guy, the loose cannon. You know, he's not running around the White House like firing people right and left. The President Trump that we met was cool, calm, collected. He was in charge of the room.
Wait, you're saying he's not unfit for office?
Exactly. Exactly.
But Chris Hayes, but Brian Stelter, but Don Lemon, but they said he was unfit for office. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's shrimp time. You know what that means. It's time to go to our Shrimpzilla cam. And she has shrimp. Oh, yeah. Still at it. Still at it, ladies and gentlemen. It's unbelievable. This shrimp has not stopped running. We've lost track of time. We don't even know how long it's been now. His vertical leaping ability continues to increase. His speed continues to go up. Look at that shrimp go. Look at those legs churn. And we told you the secret. The water that he's in is filtered by the filters at InfoWarsStore.com. You've never seen a shrimp run with his whiskers before. Look at that. That's the power of Supermale Vitality that we've also introduced to the shrimp that he's consumed. So I'm trying to be able to run with my whiskers, but I don't have the capabilities that this shrimpzilla has yet. Let's ask Carpe Donctum, though, who is with us on the line, enjoying Shrimpzilla, the meme king. Have you taken enough Supermale Vitality to run with your whiskers yet, Carpe, like that shrimp?
I'm going to have to work on that. I'm nowhere near as fit as that shrimp. That is
There's
truly
no doubt.
An amazing thing right there.
The agility that shrimp shows on a daily basis.
Do you play
basis.
That at the same time every day?
No, we don't really control that. Actually, the shrimp does. Does that always come on when you're on? Because
it's always on.
The whole show. All right, here's the big secret. I'm going to let the big secret out right now, okay? This whole broadcast is literally powered by that treadmill that the shrimp is running on. So now the world knows. So all there right. It is, folks. InfoWars, the InfoWars.com war room is actually powered by Shrimpzilla on a treadmill.
That's how you defeat the globalist, is power everything by shrimp.
Can I get that on a bottom line, please? InfoWars.com war room powered by shrimp on a treadmill? That's really all I need in my life. All right. Carpe Donctum is with us. He's the king of memes. We're memeing live on air right now. Wow, I'm memeing live on air with the king of memes. What an honor. But let's get back into just everything you experienced in D.C. because I imagine you saw the fireworks and that big display with your family. You got to tour some of D.C. What was it like just over the weekend with all the Patriots in town? You know, all the Trump supporters coming into town. I'm sure that the fanfare and festivities were wild.
So it was really busy in D.C. There was a ton of people there.
But wait a second. MSNBC said that nobody showed up.
Well, they must not have been there. They must have been in a different D.C. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. They didn't cover it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise. But we went to the parade in the morning, parade was cool. There, you know, you were seeing a lot of tweets about, you know, there's tanks and all this kind of stuff. One guy was talking about how bad the parade was because there was tanks in it. There were no tanks in the parade. That guy wasn't watching the parade. We went to the White House the day before, so it was July 3rd, and they gave us tickets to the speech. So we got to actually sit up behind President Trump in the seating right behind him. So that was pretty cool. That was another kind of neat little thing that they did for us. So we're in one of the videos that he posted, you know, we're there, but you can't really see us. We're little dots, little ants on the thing. But got some good pictures from behind there. And thankfully, the rain let up just in time for the speech to go on.
Yeah, but that kind of adds to the tale, really, that there was the big rainstorm and everybody just kind of waited it out and just lived through it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the whole area around the reflecting pool was completely packed. And I have no idea, like, beyond that, because you couldn't see beyond the Washington Monument. But I would imagine that there were people being turned away from the mall because there wasn't any space between anybody. You know, there was no spaces at all. The whole thing was filled up, and that's all while it's raining and lightning and thundering and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great event.
Well, and here's the thing. This is the big psyop that the media is trying to run, acting like Trump isn't popular, you know, acting like people are sick of Trump, there's no momentum, whatever. I mean, there's really no other event that could draw a crowd like this. I mean,
right.
Like maybe like a big music festival. I mean, this is like, I mean, that's it. The biggest music festivals draw about this crowd, or the biggest football games. No, not even though. I mean, this is bigger than any crowd that you'll see, except maybe I'm thinking, like, seriously, at a big major music festival. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and take this into account as well. This was in D.C. This was not in, you know, someplace in Ohio or like in deep red Texas. This was in Washington, D.C., and the crowd that showed up there was just as big as in a red state. So that right there says a lot.
Well, and I'm asking the crew to just find out if there's any estimates of the numbers that turned out, because I'm just thinking the biggest music festivals will get, 100,000, you know, the biggest football games will get 120,000 maybe. Right. I mean, this had to beat both of those crowds.
Yeah, it was absolutely huge. The fireworks was really great. You know, we only stayed for about half the fireworks because our kids were just exhausted from
the Well, that's a good show when the fireworks are so long and you have to leave in the middle of it.
Take off in the middle, yeah. The whole day was just great. So I think the whole thing was a home run. Couldn't have been better, really.
The
flyovers were awesome. I don't know if you saw all the flyovers, but like being in the location when they flew over, especially the one you're showing now, the stealth
bomber. Yeah,
man, that thing rocked the whole place. And then the Angels were just incredible. I did want to tell you something funny that there was a moment in there that I don't think I've seen around, and I've got a video of it. I need to put that video out soon. But there's when the Blue Angels flew over, everybody that was on stage turned around and looked back at us and looked back at the Lincoln Memorial, and everybody's kind of like trying to figure out why they're turned around, and Trump's just kind of winking and nodding and pointing. He's like, just look there, just turn around, because he was giving us warning that they're coming back over for the final Passover. So I thought it was just kind of funny. He just kept like a little kid on Christmas. He's like, look that way. You're going to see it. It's going to be awesome. Look that way.
Well, and it was a genuine thing for Trump to throw this. It wasn't some big act that, you know, he did. This was genuine. It was really an incredible thing.
It was one of his best speeches, too.
Yeah, and everybody I've talked to said you could just feel the energy. You could feel the camaraderie like a big concert or a big sporting event. Carpe Donctum, Meme War veteran. Not just Meme War veteran. I mean, he won the Meme War. He's like Meme War king. At Carpe Donctum on Twitter. Thanks for joining us as always, man. Great stuff.
War Room. Infowars.com/show. Decoding enemy transmissions so you get the truth. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Goodness, I'm checking Paul Joseph Watson's Twitter during the break. You've got more migrants in London stabbing people to death, threatening them with knives, robbing them. You had the ISIS terrorists. This is just insane. This is a clown world, man. I'm done. I'm telling you, man. Europe's gone. There it goes. Bye-bye. Europe is gone, baby. ISIS terrorists involved in Paris attacks that killed over 130 awarded compensation. It's tough. It's tough being a terrorist and having to go to court and talk about the murder and crime that you were involved in. That's tough. The government's going to pay you some money. They did the same thing in Canada. But if you're Tommy Robinson and you report on it, well, we're basically going to make sure you're in jail for life and get murdered in prison, because that's Europe. I mean, how do you even explain that? How do you even explain that? Will somebody print that for me, please? just tell you, it is a clown world. I'm just stunned. I just can't imagine how it feels to be Tommy Robinson. I mean, it's literally like, imagine you're, I don't even know. Like, imagine you're just hanging around downtown and you walk across the street, not at a crosswalk, and an officer comes over and starts to write you a ticket for jaywalking. And you're standing there like, jaywalking? Like, what? The crosswalk's right there. There isn't a car in sight. You know, say, oh, we got you for jaywalking. And then as the officer is arresting you for jaywalking, there's literally someone right across the street stabbing a woman to death, raping her. There's literally a guy raping and stabbing a woman to death, and the cop's giving you a jaywalking ticket. And then you say, excuse me, officer, do you see that murder and rape happening across the street? And the officer says, don't get sassy with me, boy. And you say, no, sir, the woman is about to be stabbed to death. She's being raped. That's it, son. You're coming with me to jail. That's basically what it is. And then maybe afterwards they go and handle that rapist and they say, did you rape that woman? And he says, I did it for Allah. And he says, all right, here's your compensation. Sorry for harassing you. And that's the clown world order right there. But that's the world we live in. Now, see, in America, the clown world is a little less intense. We just have women bitching and complaining that female soccer players should make more money. Even though now the actual data and has been processed, and women soccer players actually should be making less. There have been so many different things put into play to get women more of the money that comes in from soccer and FIFA and everything that they actually are overpaid. But, you know, let's go to the video of... So the women's soccer team won the championship. Big surprise. Everybody knew it. They're the best team in the world. It's not even close. You know what, though? Roll clip 14. I forget the name, the soccer player who was celebrating and then drops the American flag on the ground. Someone put it up perfectly. Of course, it's Megan Rapinoe that, you know, is right there right before she drops it to the ground. And then a player comes and picks it up because she's not a total idiot and actually has respect. Oh, man, how did the tweet go? It was, this is the perfect, basically, it's the perfect summary of the U.S. women's team. Disrespect America so that you can mean mug for the camera. Disrespect America so that you can selfishly get a shot on camera. Disrespect the flag. Disrespect the country. Throw patriotism to the ground. It's unimportant because look at me. It's all about me. You know why the U.S. Women's National Team has a record 4 World Cup victories compared to every other nation for women's soccer? Because no other country do women have it better than the United States of America. But don't let that get in the way of a good leftist bitch fest. Literally, they're all over Twitter. Women deserve more pay. Women deserve double pay. Oh, the oppression. Oh, yeah. Oh. No, no. Actually, let's clip this out for 2 minutes, please. I want to congratulate the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team on their World Cup victory. Not only is it impressive that you guys won the World Cup, one of the most prized victories that you can get for soccer, maybe the most prized in the world for sports, that's one thing for you to win the World Cup, but the fact that you overcame so much oppression, the fact that you had to overcome all the misogyny and all the sexism, all the homophobia, all the hatred, all the bigotry, but mostly the oppression. It's so hard on women in America. For the U.S. women's national team to win the World Cup is a great accomplishment. for them to overcome all the oppression, all the obstacles. It's so hard for women to play soccer in this country. I mean, think about it. Women in America, it's not like they can just play soccer their whole lives. It's not like they can literally only play soccer from the time they can walk to the time they're a grown-up playing in the World Cup. It's only every other country on the earth where women can do that, not in America. So this is an amazing accomplishment. But let me tell you, for that player there, number 20, who nobody's heard of because she plays women's soccer, for her to drop the flag on the ground right now in that video is perfectly legit. Because she has been oppressed, and she has now overcome all the oppression on women in America to win the World Cup. So I think they should just strip off their jerseys and say, we're not even here playing for America. We're playing for our own selves and against women's oppression worldwide. We're just going to play naked because we wear the jersey of women. And so congratulations to the U.S. Women's National Team. You won the World Cup. That's a decent feat. But for you to beat all the oppression and obstacles, the impossible life that women have in the West to play soccer literally their whole lives and become millionaires off it, celebrated worldwide, it's so hard on you. Congratulations for overcoming the impossible oppression to the female women's national soccer team. But be careful. Those U15 boys that beat your team a few years ago, I heard some of them are thinking about transitioning. They might be playing female soccer pretty soon. So all the women that beat the oppression, you may lose your roster spot soon to a man. So that's the next oppression you'll have to deal with. Good luck. But hey, you've got all the stories saying women deserve more. Women are oppressed, everything. Meanwhile, a startup basketball league, literally with NBA retirees and rejects, Big Three attendance and television ratings have already eclipsed the WNBA. So literally gray-haired old basketball players, gym rats, and NBA rejects are beating a Women's National Basketball Association that's been around and had national marketing for years. And a startup, the Big Three, with washed-up NBA players is already beating them in attendance and ratings. Can you believe the sexism and the misogyny in this country? Unbelievable. But hey, not all athletes are lost in sports. I have a feeling the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues will be going to the White House. And Bryce Harper shames Colin Kaepernick and Nike, wears Betsy Ross flag cleats on 4th of July game. Those are nice cleats, too. So, hey, it's good to know not all American athletes hate America. Just the U.S. Women's National Team.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's a clown world. We're just living in it. The crew points out as France has just given a terrorist money because it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard on the poor little terrorist. You were involved with the murder of 130,000 or 130 people. Here's a couple thousand dollars for your troubles. So France gives financial compensation to terrorists, but if you're a French citizen, they just let you starve to death and die. Quadriplegic man reportedly cried when France told he has to be starved to death. Vince Lambert was his name, and his father decries the murder of his son. Not just did they murder your son, they then gave some compensation to terrorists. So it's nice. I mean, you know, in France, if you're a dying citizen, you die. But if you're a Muslim terrorist, you get compensation because you're the victim. I mean, I don't know, folks. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. In fact, just to put a book in, though, on the U.S. Female national team, not just dropping the flag on the ground, the one bimbo with Megan Rapinoe right there cheering it on. I'm so sick of her. Now she's going to go on a whole media tour. Oh, it's so hard on Megan Rapinoe. She's a gay soccer player that gets to play soccer her entire life. Oh, it's so hard. She dyes her hair purple. Oh, my gosh. She stomps on the American flag. She hates the country. She hates the anthem. Oh, it's so hard to be Megan Rapinoe where she can just play soccer for her whole life and not even know a single struggle and make millions of dollars and then go on a big media tour and she gets all the glory for the best soccer team that females have ever seen because no other country has the freedoms for women like they do here. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, poor Megan. I think that the audience that was present has it all figured out. It's not about celebrating the women's team winning the National Cup. No, it's about them now representing women across the world and in America. They deserve equal pay. Just listen to the audience.
Equal pay! Equal pay! Equal pay! Equal pay!
Wow. It's just beautiful, isn't it? Yes. Equal pay. Can you imagine? This is our life. This is our real world now. Yeah. Yeah. Equal pay. Even though the laws are already on the books, women already make equal pay. But now, didn't you hear that air conditioning is sexist? Yeah. Air conditioning is sexist now. Because men have a higher body temperature. Therefore, they blast the AC in workplaces. And therefore, women suffer. And therefore, it's sexist. So, no, actually, I'm gonna out all men right now. I'm going to do it right now. I'm the only one brave enough to do so. So as you can see, hold on, zoom out a little bit. As you can see, there are four war room crew members and then a moving blanket. There's the moving blanket right there. We hired a blanket and we have four crew members and one blanket. It's not like, you know, a talking towel, but it's a blanket. Does a pretty good job, but I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. Men, I'm sorry to do this. I'm sorry to do this, but it has to be done. If not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? No, it's true. The only reason why men blast the AC is not because we're hot. It's because we just want to get women out of the workplace. There it is. I did it. We're just sick of women being around the workplace. That's all it is. We're sick of it. We're sick of your bubbly joy. We're sick of your good work ethic. We're sick of your smiling faces. You know, we're just sick of you. So we're trying to freeze you out. We're sick of you coming in, working hard, doing a good job. We're sick of you looking cute. We're just sick of all of it. We just want you out of the workplace. So we're blasting the AC. No, look at this. Hold on. Zoom out a little bit. This is sexism personified. Notice the male is wearing a sleeveless shirt, perfectly comfortable. The female is hidden in a blanket. So we're trying to freeze you women out, but you're so darn tough. You're so darn stubborn. See, look, I'll be honest. We're kind of, here's the deal. We're kind of nice here, and we just try to freeze the women out. You know, look, other people have gone to extreme lengths to keep women out of the workplace. Just look at Harvey Weinstein. Look at Bill Clinton. So I'm just saying, we just try to freeze you out. You know, look at Keith Ellison. I mean, these guys are beating women down. So there's the walking blanket that is part of the crew. But no, I'm sorry to do that to us guys, but I just outed us. It's true. We are trying to freeze women out of the workplace. That's it. We're just threatened by you. And, yeah, there you go. So, from now on, every World Cup is going to be, every female World Cup is going to be in Antarctica. Okay. And, we'll see if you guys can play soccer in some real frigid temperatures, and then hopefully that'll be it for the Women's World Cup, because we're sick of the women just being so much better at soccer, too. So whatever it takes. Yeah, there's a depiction. All right. But equal pay is the answer. Equal pay is the answer to everything. But, you know, all the sex abuse victims of the Jeffrey Epstein vast network, as it's so called, don't worry about them. They're fine. Don't worry. Allegedly, when Epstein had all these women that he was sex trafficking and all the people that came over on the pedophile island and the Lolita Express, don't worry, guys. They kept the temperature at a reasonable number. Okay? So, I mean, at least when Epstein and all these guys are moving these people around, you know, these sex cults, they at least have the temperature warm so that the females aren't being oppressed by air conditioning. I mean, you got to give them some credit, right? I mean, come on. So that's amazing, though. That blanket does a lot of work. Although, you know, I got to say now but it's all part of the plan. See, now I know that because that we have a working blanket, the vision is impaired. The arm movements are impaired. We're just going to have to get rid of you. You're moving too slow. Only a man. We're going to need to hire a man. So there you go. So there it is. I just outed all men. We're trying to freeze women out of the workplace. There you go. It's over. It's all over with now. We're exposed. Shut it all down. But give women equal pay. I didn't even know that the women were playing yesterday. Was it yesterday? It was yesterday. I just don't know how the U.S. women do it. I mean, it's not like they get to play soccer their whole life. Literally. From the time they walk. It's just so stupid, man. Oh, and they got it so hard. So hard. I wonder if the U.S. women's team will ever lose a World Cup again. Here's the obvious answer. To level the playing field, it's time for men to start playing soccer as women and just go play for another country. In fact, like, what's the worst soccer country? Like Canada? I think a bunch of Canadian men should just transition to be females, play for the Canadian women's team, and then just win the World Cup every year. What's the big deal? No, the U.S., let's be real. The U.S. men's team, does this actually happen? Oh my gosh. This is just quality women's soccer right here. Quality women's soccer. She was an all-star that year. You didn't know it. Boy, what is going on? Okay. I mean, we could do this all day. Remember there was that one clip we played? It was a female basketball game, and they missed like 7 layups in a row. Remember that one? What are they going to say next? The WNBA should be making as much money as the NBA players. Even though nobody watches, nobody goes to the games. That's basically the same equivalent. So what the hell are we waiting for? Yeah, here it is right here. Oh my gosh. No, these WNBA players should be making as much as LeBron James. I mean, haven't you seen some of these NBA contracts coming down the pipeline in the last couple weeks? We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Look at these female stars. They make $100 on a good night. They should be making as much as the NBA players.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump held a 4th of July party that will go down in infamy, but it was obviously racist and sexist and bigoted and homophobic and xenophobic and everything that is bad with humanity, because I heard it on mainstream news.
pomp, pageantry, and armored tanks. President Trump creates a different kind of fireworks this 4th of July.
In recent years, 4th of July on the National Mall has been a tribute to universal American themes. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, a star-spangled civic hymn. This year, by design, it will be much more about him.
Confirmed. President Trump has decided that this year, the 4th of July should be for him.
It's a celebration of our nation's history. It's not a celebration of any particular individual, including him.
I don't think he understands. This is America's birthday, not his birthday.
This is why the word hijacked is being used.
Donald Trump has hijacked the nation's previously nonpartisan 4th of July celebration.
That effort to hijack July 4th for his own purposes did not go well.
Using patriotism and the military as political props has hijacked a day that should unify Americans. But it's safe to say unifying Americans is not one of Trump's core talents.
Political rally in the middle of D.C. on 4th of July, that's just totally improper.
It's just obscene.
And the speech is going to be dreadful.
They're going to have their Confederate flags flying and their license plates and all kinds of troublemaking.
Well, let's see. Let me be subtle here. At a professional level, 25 years in national security, I hated it. At a personal level, I hated it more.
I've decided Washington is going to have a party on the 4th of July. There will be big parades with floats using a new invention of mine, wheels.
This should not be a political event. Nothing about 4th of July should be reduced to politics.
But he's putting himself at the center of this. He is, by all accounts, the most polarizing president in modern history, and simply by his presence, standing in front of one of our most cherished monuments, makes this a very controversial decision.
There's no need for this. I mean, we've celebrated America on 4th of July pretty well. I think, in part, this is about a president who's deeply insecure, and this is a bit of sort of phony toughness that we've seen out of him.
Sure looks like a partisan re-election rally on public space.
Donald Trump's campaign rally in Washington paid for by the American taxpayer.
A campaign event.
Some kind of a campaign speech.
A political rally.
Partisan event.
Combination Trump rally and Kim Jong-un style military parade.
The president's vision bears a closer resemblance to the chest thumping displays put on by authoritarian regimes.
This is the kind of military display that we were used to seeing from the Soviet Union.
I also have some concerns about a president not celebrating the military, but glorifying military might. That scares me the most.
I'm just troubled about the militaristic tone of this whole thing.
This reminds me of parades I used to attend in the Soviet Union. Not the right look for the 4th.
Americans love our freedom, and no one will ever take it away from us.
Those words sparking criticism that the president has taken over D.C.'s 4th of July celebration on the National Mall.
Because the American people are being co-opted into this. This is their day. This is the day for America and for every American. And yet the American people are being somewhat against their will, some of them who are just coming there for the fireworks, co-opted to be a part of this.
The nation's birthday is being politicized.
Devotion to our founding ideals led American patriots to abolish the evil of slavery, secure civil rights, and expand the blessings of liberty to all Americans.
It's unbelievable that President Trump. How dare he love America? We need to send in Team America right now to stop President Trump from spreading patriotism. What the hell's his problem? Welcome back into the third hour now of the Infowars.com War Room. Brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. I've got another amazing guest joining me, Jesse Lee Peterson. Before I bring him on live, we've got specials live right now at InfowarsStore.com. 50% off all Infowars Life supplements. Not sure how much longer this is going to last. Take advantage now. 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements. Free shipping store-wide. And double Patriot points. By the way, the limited edition Betsy Ross t-shirt, we are at a minimum right now on those. There's still a few more left on the popular sizes. And here's how this kind of goes. We're out of the Clown World t-shirt, basically, too, unless you're like a double XL or a small. There's a couple left of those. But we're getting to that point now with the Betsy Ross limited edition t-shirt. And it's funny. I don't know if I should tell this story. But I literally can't even get these t-shirts. I don't want to. But it's like, I can't even get this t-shirt. It's like I walk over there and they're like, no, we're giving them to the customers. We only made 4,000. You can't get them anymore. I have to beg and plead. And I'm not wearing the t-shirt, folks. I'm wearing my George Washington t-shirt right now. So I can't even get these t-shirts. So get your Betsy Ross limited edition t-shirt before we run out. And again, there's a couple Clown World t-shirts left, but not many. And it's only in like double XL and small. So the more sold sizes like mediums and larges and XLs are running out. The limited edition Betsy Ross flag t-shirt. Now, Jesse Lee Peterson is with me. He's got a ton of stuff that he wants to go over. But let's start with the 4th of July bonanza that was, that we played a clip of the media. They hate it. They hate America. They hate people celebrating America. I mean, Jesse, where do these people go? I don't understand it. They hate everything about America. They bitch and whine about everything. They're showing their true colors. So it's like, yeah. Where do we go from here? It's like, you know, I mean, it's like hating your family or something.
That's right. Well, they can, all the haters can go over to Mommy Africa. They can move over there. Because this president, the great white hope, is making America great again. That 4th of July event was absolutely amazing. It reminded me of when I was growing up as a little boy down in Alabama on the plantation. We got our first black and white TV, and I used to watch the white people celebrate the 4th of July in a big way like the president did. And I used to think as a kid, boy, I would love to do that. And I never imagined one day that I would, as an adult, be able to enjoy the country the way I did this past 4th of July. It was absolutely amazing. So they are jealous of that. Everything they do to try to stop this president, they are not able to do it, but they're so angry and hateful that they cannot help themselves. They can't help but make a fool of themselves.
But this is ridiculous because it's like if I have a pool party, let's say I have a pool party for the neighborhood and, you know, we're barbecuing and grilling and setting off fireworks and playing pool games and, you know, giving away prizes and there's music and everything. And everyone in the neighborhood's invited. I'm like, hey, this is a great big party. Everybody come on down. And there's a couple people that are like, oh, how dare he have a party at the pool? How dare he want to cook food? You know, and I'm just like, hey, you know, you can come. Like, everybody's having a good time. Come on down. They're like, no, I don't want to come. I don't want to be a part of your festivities. And you're just like, okay, well, that's your problem. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, what do they want? Like, do they want us to come out and shame America on the 4th? Do they want us to ignore the 4th of July? Like, it's really odd. They really just want to bitch and complain. I think that's what it is.
You're right. They hate America. They wanted to turn into a socialist, communist society. Obama tried to do that. The Father Messiah, he tried to do it while in office. He didn't complete his job, so they'll continue to try and destroy this country. And for one man, like the great white hope, the president, to come in and expose them and make that change, it's driving them nuts. I got to say to you, though, happy 4th of July and happy White History Month. You know that this is our second year I started White History Month last year in July, and this is our second year celebrating White History Month. And I have to tell you, that 4th of July parade that the president put on is a perfect example of white history. And as you know, the reason I started White History Month in July is because July just feel white. It just feel white. Yeah, summertime, vacation time, relaxation time, get out and just kind of relax and look back on how great this country is. So 4th of July was part of the White History celebration, and we'll continue for the rest of this month. So happy White History, man.
Well, man, I remember when you came on with us last year and you announced White History Month, and, you know, I do agree with July, there is some white history and everything, but, man, you know, a honky like me, I get burned out there in the hot sun. I mean, you know, you got to consider that. If we're going to have White History Month, we can't have a bunch of honkies out there getting sunburned all day.
Well, you can put a straw hat on or something. I used to work in the hot fields of Alabama.
They'll say that's racist. They'll say we're culturally appropriating, like, black people hats or something.
But it doesn't matter what they say anymore. We'll win in this battle. It's a spiritual battle between good and evil, a warfare between right and wrong. And right is starting to win. And it's so nice to see this happening in the greatest country on this side of heaven. I do have a concern that if we don't get involved, then somehow or another, the children of the lie, which are the Democratic Party, the black race hustlers, the Never Trumpers, the Rhino Republicans, if we let them take over, it's over for America. Because
but wait a second, let's talk about the children of the lie. Let's talk about the children of the lie, something that you coined. But that's it, though. The lie is that America is racist. The lie is that people can't get along based on color. The lie is that X group hates X group because of, you know, X identity or whatever.
Right.
That's the big lie.
Yes.
You know, and I think the amazing thing is, and it's not even, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like we're so really, I guess, intellectually above this whole race bait identity politics thing. Yeah. We just kind of laugh at it and talk about it like it's no big deal. And they actually think it's somehow racist. They actually think like somehow you're bad when it's like, no, you're the one still back in the Jim Crow era.
That's right. I have proven that there is no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, deadbeat dad Islam, Islamophobiaism, or Judaism. It's right versus wrong, good versus evil. When I was growing up in Alabama on that plantation, I did not hear the word racism. And I grew up under the Jim Crow laws. I remember for colors only signs and all that stuff. But we were taught to love all people. There's good and bad in all races, to work hard, get married, raise your family, buy land, and that there's no greater country than America. This whole lie started when the so-called civil rights movement started. One of the worst things, and there are many things, that has happened to black people in this country was the civil rights movement. It should have never happened, because ever since the so-called civil rights movement took place, black people, most, not all, but most, have not recovered. They are relying on other black people and white liberals to think for them. They are not getting married and having their children in the right way. They're having them out of wedlock. Most black people are begging and whining and whimping. They want affirmative action. They want reparations. They want to go to the white school. But when they get to the white schools, they are mad about that.
But let me get to this on the other side. We got to go to a break here.
All right.
Let's get to this on the other side. It's part of the children of the lie. I mean, when are everybody just going to see, okay, these oppressions are not real?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Happy White History Month. Glad to be a part of it.
I guess James Comey is part of White History Month. You know, I got news on Comey coming up in a minute. You won't believe this. You won't believe who is involved in the Epstein case. Blow your mind. That's what you call deep state privilege, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse Lee Peterson is with us. I want to talk about children of the lie, a phrase that he's coined. It's all about how media and liberal indoctrination has put kids into a certain mindset, a certain reality that is a lie. It's not real. And Jesse, I look at it right now and I just look at, and because, I mean, we don't do the whole identity politics thing except to address, respond to the left or to make a joke of it. But I sit here and I just look at people getting along, celebrating America, not caring about the color of a skin or the number in your bank account or the social status or what you look like or any of that stuff, just celebrating America. And then you have these people who could be inside having the good time, being a part of it, but instead on the outside looking, pointing, judging, saying, responding. And everybody's just like, what? Like, you're not even, what are you even talking about? We played the whole montage. So, I mean, this is the lie. So they want children to grow up thinking America's bad, America's racist. You're bad if you like America. You're bad if you like Trump. And that's the lie they want kids to be indoctrinated into. And then they sit here and they point the finger at us like we're some sort of, like we're a bad influence just because we celebrate America. They're the ones indoctrinating children. They're the ones creating a future of a bunch of sad sops and victims that will never be able to come out of this. So, I mean, what do you make of the media lying to children about the reality that they live in?
The media is no different than the Democratic Party. They're no different than the right or Republicans. They are all working together. They want to control the people. Unlike you or me, they want power. They want wealth. And the best way that they think they can get that is by controlling the people. And they control them by spoiling them, offering them free stuff all the time. It's the same thing if you raise kids and you don't teach the kids to work from day one, teach them how to be responsible. That natural ability will not develop. So when they become adults, it's hard to get rid of them. They now have to rely on you. So these Democrats and the media and others, they want to control the people. They desire power and wealth. Whereas you and I would want to see people free, see them make their own way to develop, be free people, but they don't like that. And that's what they're all about. I even saw some people at the during the parade time, they were burning the flag rather than, as you said, coming into the party and enjoying it and appreciating America. They were burning the flag. I guarantee you that was those were young people who've been brainwashed, dumbed down, and demoralized. They have believed into the lie from the educational system, from the liberal media, the Democratic Party, that America is just such a bad, bad country, and we need to destroy it. It's unfortunate, but I have to tell you, man, a lot of millennials and some Zs are starting to wake up. I hear from them all the time. They attend my meetings. Men and women of all races, they are realizing that they have been used by the Democratic Party, by the liberal educational system, and they're starting to wake up. And as a result, I believe that things will get better and not worse.
Well, we can only hope they get better. And I think that part of that is they've been lied to, and as soon as they see the truth, they're like, oh, it's not so bad over here.
Right.
And it's a psychological thing, too. I mean, it's I like to make sports analogies and such where it's like, everybody knows that people, you know, they call bandwagon fans. Everybody wants to be part of the winning team. Everybody wants to cheer for the winners. Everybody wants to get a championship hat and everything. But that's kind of what it's like. So the media says Trump's not winning. America's not winning. Trump supporters are losing. Well, they do all this stuff. And people are like, oh, wow, yeah, I don't want to be a part of the losing team. Like, yo, Trump's going down. I don't want to be a part of that team. But then as time goes on and more they realize the media is lying. Trump is winning. Trump supporters are winning. They're like, oh, I can be on the winning team. But it's like the lowest form of tribalism. It's like the lowest form of tribalism. It's like I'm thinking like in high school, okay, you're at a party in high school with all your school friends, and then someone from the rival school shows up and, you know, tips over all the drink containers and throws the food out the window and, you know, comes in and ruins the party and is like, you know, you high or whatever, and you're from J High, and you're just like, oh man, why'd our rivals have to ruin the party? But it's not even that. It's people from your own school coming in and saying, screw Jay High, and tip over the drinks and throw the food out the window and pee in the pool and throw the chairs into the pool and everything and tip the barbecue pit over. And they're like, yeah, Jay High sucks. And you're like, wait a second. You're in my class. This is a class party.
Yeah.
What's your problem? That's what this is like.
Well, you know, because of the great white hope, President Trump standing up and speaking up, he doesn't care if you black or white, Mexican or Japanese or whatever, right? He stand up to you. He tell you what's right. He doesn't bow down to the so-called intimidation. And because he's done that over the last 2.5 years to 3 years almost, people have seen that. Young people see this man in operation, and he has influence, and he is influencing them to stand up. I have been saying to white Americans for the last 29 years now that they need to start speaking up. They're not responsible for the failure of most black people. They are not responsible for slavery that happened way yonder ago, right? They are not responsible for Jim Crow. It wasn't what they had been told anyway. And I said to white people, you need to start speaking up. Don't be afraid of being called racist. They're only using that word to control you. And if they can put fear in you, they have you. And white Americans, up until lately, have not been speaking up. And it just brought out the worst, especially in black people. They got worse rather than getting better, because if you're weak with your enemy will take advantage of that and try to destroy you. But now, thanks to the president and you, men like you, speaking up, it's encouraging others to do the same. And this man has had such a great, great impact on the country, because the people are able to see him for themselves through social media, through the television, Fox News and others are always showing him. You show him on your show. I show him on my show. So people are seeing for themselves. They don't have to take the lies from the media. And because of that, they're starting to stand up. So I'm real grateful for that. This is a great time for America and a great time for white history. They have lied about white history. They tell you about so-called black history, homosexual history, Japanese history, Chinese, Mexican history. But when you talk about white history, everybody's like, no.
Hold on, let's talk about this on the other side. Let's talk about this one more segment with Jesse Lee Peterson. And right. I think you're on something there. That's the thing. People, as soon as people see how the media lies and manipulates them, they totally rebuke it and they sprint the opposite direction.
Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Jesse Lee Peterson is with me. Jesse, I don't know if you've seen this story, but you've got this music festival in Detroit. It's called Afro Future Fest. It's coming up, and they're charging double the price of admission if you're white. So if you're anything but white, you pay half price. And, I mean, like, personally, I don't even care. I mean, it's funny because this is blatant racism against white people. Now, obviously, I don't care because I'm not going to let some racist individual or group of individuals stop me in my life. That's the whole point. Racists will not stop you. That's another big lie. Like Jesse Lee Peterson coined the phrase "Children of the Lie." That's another big lie. Let's say that there's a bunch of racist white people out there, which I'm sure there are. They're not going to stop you from accomplishing your goals and dreams unless you let them. But now, Jesse, I mean, again, it's not even that I care. I don't want to go to this concert. And if somebody doesn't want me at their concert, I don't want to go anyway. But can you imagine if somebody had a concert and they had white people pay half the price of admission as everybody else, the media would be in an uproar today. But because it's racist against white people, it's not a story.
This is why, yet another reason why we're celebrating White History Month. If it wasn't for white people, there would be no America. Thank God that white people discovered, founded, and built the greatest country on this side of heaven. I think one mistake they made, though, is to allow the colored people to come in, because these colored people, people of color coming from asshole countries, and they are not builders. They are destroyers. And they're coming in, and white folks let them in. They are coming in, and white people hate it for allowing these people in. They turn on the very people who were kind to them. And you're right. If white people had done what they're doing in Detroit to the blacks and others, it would be riots and killing and everything happening today. But because the colored people are doing it to the whites, nobody cares. That's why we're standing up and celebrating White History Month, because these people need to be faithful and appreciate the fact that white people let them in. And white people need to have the courage to say, okay, if you don't appreciate being in my house, you got to go. I give you a month to get out of here. You got to go. And I got to tell you, as a result of celebrating White History Month, Friday, I received some socks from a nice lady by the name of Sienna, all the way from New Zealand. And on the socks, as you can see, I don't know if you can see it or not, it has the face of the Great White Hope, celebrating White History Month and the 4th of July. So we are being recognized around the world for white history. I am sick of them destroying the monuments and things that white people have done to make it possible for them to get here. So I'm encouraging all people from this March 4th, we started last year, to celebrate white history. Don't be afraid to mention the greatness of white Americans, because if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be so. Look what's happening in South Africa. White people went to South Africa. They built a great country over there. Now the blacks have taken over, and the blacks are destroying everything that's good. And if they take over our government, the same thing going to happen here. They are attacking white people. They are taking the land from white people without compensation. They're robbing, raping, and killing. And I'm telling you, if white people don't stand up and allow the people of color to take over the government here, the exact same thing will happen here in America. These people are spoiled. They want free stuff. And once you give somebody free stuff, it's hard to take it away from them. And whites better start waking up and speaking up right now before it's too late. We cannot look at the hoods. They're going to do to the entire country what they have done to the hoods, the neighborhood, the black neighborhoods in the country, destroy them. Blacks are not builders. They are destroyers.
That's Democrat-run cities. Those are Democrat-run cities that have been run by Democrats for decades. They always get in claiming they're going to help black people that are impoverished. They just make it worse. But a couple examples of what you're talking about. Pete Buttigieg says it's time to erase Thomas Jefferson's name from history. You've got San Francisco school is going to spend more than $500,000 to paint over a George Washington mural. But, you know, here's what gets me, Jesse, because I'm not trying to figure the best way to put this. There is legitimate anger in black youth. And it's because they're indoctrination that they're angry. They're told they're supposed to be angry. But there's a lot of black youth in this country that is angry about their situation, and because they're told they can't make it out of it, and because they're told that it's because they're black, they're angry. And what I see happening now, and I hope it doesn't go there, but what I see happening now is there's a weird change, and people are going to be like, oh, no, that's crazy. But no. There's going to be a weird change where if we don't stop this trend, it's going to be white boys growing up in 10, 20 years that have that same chip on their shoulder that are told they're bad, they don't deserve something, they're inherently evil, they're scum of the earth, and that angst, that anger that you see in a lot of black youths, because A, yes, they are in a rough situation in their life, but they're told to blame it on somebody else so they never get out of it. It's going to be a different thing, but white boys are going to have that same thing. They're going to be told they're bad. They're going to be told they can't go there. Someone else has to do that for you. They're going to be told they're not allowed. They're bad because of their skin color. And I just see, if we don't change this, it's going to be white boys that are growing up angry and starting to lash out against the quote unquote, society. And I want to avoid that.
I am too. Yet another reason for White History Month. We want to educate the white boys, let them know that they are not wrong. It's not coming from them. And the real reason for anger in black men and women, it starts in the home first. It's not with white people. The mothers in these homes are turning the children away from the fathers. The mothers hate the fathers, so they're telling the children that the father's bad, and the mothers are playing victim. They're pretending to be a victim. Oh, your dad was an alcoholic, a drug addict. He walked out on me. The mothers are not telling the children that your father could not handle me. I was too rough to handle. So he left me. He did not leave you. And so these kids are angry at the mothers for turning them against the fathers. And they believe that their fathers didn't love them. But once they go back to the father and talk to him, forgive the mothers for turning them away from the fathers, for the boys and the girls, then go and forgive the fathers for not protecting them from the mothers, they wake up, because once they forgive, God forgive them, and they start to wake up and see what's really, really going on. And the children of the lie are taking advantage of the weakness that starts in the home, the anger that starts in the home. And instead of telling them, you need to forgive your mother for turning you away from your father, they are telling the children, it's the white man, it's racism, it's sexism, it's homophobiaism, so that they can use these kids for their own personal gain. But that is changing. They're starting to wake up. They're hearing young men like you, and they hear me on my show. They're starting to see what's really going on once they drop that anger. You cannot believe the truth as long as you have anger. You got to drop the anger so you can really see what's going on. So I want to encourage the men and women, boys and girls of all races, to forgive your mothers for turning you away from your fathers. Because when you don't love your father, it's impossible to love God, to even know him, because men represent God on earth. And so we are telling them that it's not about race. It's about the family. It's about appreciating the greatness of America. So we got to kill these lies by telling the truth, expose these people for lying. And that's what they do.
Jesse, we got to go to break. Thanks so much for joining us. But that's what they do with the Don Lemons and the people out there. They're creating racism. The Democrats and the liberal media are literally creating racism. Jesse Lee Peterson, amazing. At JLP Talk on Twitter. JesseLeePeterson.com is where you can find his work.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment of the War Room. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do a news blitz here. I wish I could play this Joe Biden clip. Maybe I will. But real quick, folks, big specials at InfoWarsStore.com. It's maybe the last night for it. 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements. We're running out of the limited edition Betsy Ross t-shirt. We're almost out of that. Free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points with every order. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And, of course, your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes it possible for everything we do here, which they kind of put us in a stalemate on our expansion plans for about the last year or so, but we're about to move forward with major expansion plans. And hopefully soon you'll see some of the other projects that we've been working on, but we don't want to rush things out there. We want to do it right and roll it out right. But you're going to see the fruits of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. We cannot thank you enough. I'm thinking about this because more people are getting erased off social media every day. And I basically have one if they hit me with one more thing on Twitter, I'll probably be gone, but I'm still allowed on Twitter for I've been allowed back on. I'm totally banned from Facebook, totally banned from YouTube, but I do have a Gab account where you can submit a question of the day every day during one of the breaks. I answer a question of the day, but you can only submit that at my Gab account because I know that that's not going to be censored. At All I Do Is Owen on Gab. And you'll also see that the question of the day goes to my Subscribestar page where I do raffles and put up all kinds of exclusive content. That's an older – guys, go ahead and refresh that. That's like a couple weeks old there. All kinds of exclusive content on my Subscribestar. Oh, I know why you're not seeing it, because you're not subscribed. It's only $1 a month. I mean, it's the cheapest I could do. But your support there is powering some other things I'm working on behind the scenes, which hopefully you'll see soon. So InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off all InfoWars Live supplements, free shipping store-wide. The Betsy Ross t-shirt is almost sold out. Take advantage. Get your coffee from InfoWars Store. Get your toothpaste from InfoWars Store. Get your shampoo from InfoWars Store. It's all great stuff. All right. It's News Blitz time. U.S. Dream pulls African migrants in record numbers across Latin America. And in this story from Reuters, it's actually from last week. I wasn't able to get to it. It highlights the 10-nation trip that these migrants from Africa go on. It's all paid for, and they eventually get to the United States. It's all planned, folks. This is literally a UN invasion. This is literally a Democrat invasion. They're funding the whole thing. It's crazy. Think about it. Why wouldn't these African migrants go to a country in Africa? Because there's no country in Africa that's paying them to go in. There's no country in Africa that pays them to move about the country. There's no country in Africa that will give them everything free for anything they need. In fact, there's no other country in the world. Only in America. But yet, we're racist. We're bad. This is incredible. Cory Booker literally belongs in jail. Cory Booker literally belongs in jail. I mean, Cory Booker brazenly escorts 5 illegal immigrants across the U.S. border. I mean, if I did that, I'd be considered a coyote and I'd be arrested. Cory Booker is a damn felon. That's a felony. Is it not a felony to escort an illegal immigrant across the border? I'd double check that. Pretty sure that's a felony. Cory Booker is a damn felon who just escorted illegal immigrants across the border. Stunning. Stunning. I mean, talk about a political stunt. Feds plan to deport 1 million illegal immigrants, according to the latest Trump official. Yeah, they keep getting delayed and everything. But, you know, if you look at the numbers, Trump had, during Trump's administration, less than 300,000 people have been deported. During Bush's 8 years, 2.5 million. During Obama's 8 years, 3 million. More than 3 million deportations. And they sit here and they say Trump's deporting all the families. Trump's making people worried about deportations. They're not even deporting. Trump's not even deporting anyone. It's unbelievable. Homeland Security report details poor conditions in Border Patrol stations. Again, that's because the Democrats and the UN are forcing everybody into these tiny facilities. They can't hold them. Reports of scabies, shingles, chickenpox at Texas border facility. That's just a new one. I mean, disease is breaking out everywhere. Judge blocks Trump policy keeping asylum seekers locked up. So now they just, again, these are open borders. The Democrats are for open borders. Bring them all in, put them all in a tiny facility, say, oh, we can't handle them in this facility, release them to the country. But these people are just ridiculous. You've got the Epstein deal. Epstein sex trafficking charges involve victim as young as 14. Epstein pleads not guilty. Indictment alleges Epstein created vast network of underage sex victims. Epstein allegedly will be in jail till Thursday. Guess who is involved in this case? Maureen Comey. Who? Maureen Comey, the daughter of FBI Director James Comey, is reportedly a prosecutor in the new criminal case against convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Can you believe that? They put Comey's seed on this case. Boy, if that doesn't reek of deep state corruption, I don't know what does. Now, I don't know about Maureen Comey, but James Comey is a corrupt bureaucrat and a known liar, a deep state shill at best. So his daughter is now involved in the Epstein case, where Comey was probably already part of a cover-up slash blackmail scheme with Mueller. Boy, that's... I mean, why are they always trying to protect their pedophiles? But again, ex-Google executive ran sex ring that saw him pay thousands to own women and share them with pals. Who works with Google? The Democrat Party, Barack Obama. Sundance co-founder gets at least 6 years in child sex abuse case. Another liberal establishment, Sundance Film Festival. Pedophiles everywhere. Channel 4 documentary shows kids unlimited access to porn on social media. And then you realize they're using social media, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter for their pedophile desires, folks. That's really what it is. They want to go into all your secret little porn that you're sending your friends. They go in to private messages on Twitter and Facebook where people are sending each other nudes. Okay? Minors. That's going on social media. I guarantee you they're distributing those photos to their little friends. Just a quick recap from the Democrat debates. Jack Murphy breaks it down in numbers. During the Democrat debates, Trump was said 1,300 times. Free was said 683 times. Spanish was spoken 14 times. America was said 2 times. And 0 American flags were on the stage. What else do you need to know? Joe Scarborough on Twitter. How about this? Democratic candidates now support universal health care for illegal immigrants, making illegally crossing America's borders legal, and a return to forced busing. Do you also now support the banning of the Betsy Ross flag from public places? Hashtag Woke Nation. Joe Scarborough, Psycho Joe, the voice of reason on the left. Who would have thought? Armed Utah teachers practiced responding to school shootings. So, yeah, that's the sad but appropriate response. If you want to stop school shootings, you know, arm people on the campus. You heard about Nike pulling the Betsy Ross flag shoe, but now Governor Doug Ducey in Arizona is pulling incentives for an Arizona plant. I wish that we could get Nike to produce their stuff in America instead of China with slave labor. But this isn't going to help. That'd be good for America. It'd be good for stopping slave labor in China. But I guess we're not interested in that. Again, Maureen Comey now on the Jeffrey Epstein case. Oh, New Zealand. Non-compliance kneecaps New Zealand's gun control scheme. You see, that's the problem with gun confiscation. Not everybody's going to comply. And then what do you do? Amazon workers Prime Day strike at Minnesota warehouse despite $15 an hour wage. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak says you should get off Facebook. Yeah, you should definitely get off Facebook. In fact, I realized something. The reason why Facebook came out with the new digital currency, folks, they planned on replacing the U.S. dollar, collapsing the U.S. dollar, going to a digital currency based on social media networks, and then they decide who gets to engage in commerce. Guess who wouldn't be allowed to engage? Me, Alex Jones, and people that are banned on Facebook. So you see how that works? They were already getting ready to roll that out. Total control over commerce, but they're failing. That does it for the War Room. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.